Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world, with the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
Welcome to the Fairways of Life show, folks. Absolute delight to have your company. As you can see, we're in our home away from home. We're just outside of New York City because I'm up here at NBC Sports hosting shows for Golf Channel this week, Golf Central coming up in 4 and 6 p.m. editions later on today. You know, we have not been with you since the Wednesday before the Players. Now, the week of the Players, the week of major championships, live from, which is excellent, re-airs in our time slot. So that's the reason why we're not with you if you're watching us on Golf Channel. We still are, though, streaming live every day, just like we always do. So if you log on to the Fairways of Life YouTube channel, you can always get the live streaming version of the television show there, or the audio version if you want to get us off the app or any audio platform around the world. So it was, I thought, an incredibly entertaining Players. You know, from the condition of the golf course, with the density of the rough, the greens were still a little bit soft, so scoring could go low. I mean, Scottie Scheffler ended up one shot off the all-time record, which is held by Greg Norman at the Players. So I thought all of that made for really good drama. How about the drama with the way that it ended? Earl Forsey and Mark McCumber were hosting a PGA Tour Radio's coverage of the Players. And gents, when you talk about drama, when you talk about excitement, when you talk about entertainment, this one had it all.
Well, Matt, thanks. It's never a dull moment at the Players Championship. The gauntlet, the back nine, the Players Stadium course. At TPC Sawgrass, we had a show put on by Scottie Scheffler again this year. Players champion Mark McCumber was alongside for the ride once again. I'll tell you what, Mark, he's the best player in the game, number one in the FedEx Cup standings, number one in the world. Scottie Scheffler, number one again at the Players' Championship. What a Sunday charge with a 64 to win it and make history to win it for a second straight year.
Yeah, I've paid attention to all 50 of these. I can say that at my age, involved in 20 of them in a row, and have watched closely and covered them the last 15 years. And he's just a special player. I mean, if you look at the top five in the finishing, Scheffler lapped those guys. I mean, the next best score for the day was 68, a beautiful score by Brian Harman, which any other year would have won except for one. But Scottie Scheffler shot 8 under. He tied the lowest round of the tournament. And the way he did it, it was just incredible. I never remember a more exciting finish than this year's Players.
Yeah, and he was battling a neck injury for a couple of days and looked great on Sunday. Obviously did, shooting that low one to win. Let's talk about some of the other players in the mix. First, Brian Harman. I mean, he was 7 back after 72 on Thursday, so he played great to get himself in the mix, 65-64 in rounds 2 and 3, and had a chance to win at 18 on Sunday. The other two, Wyndham Clark, the U.S. Open champion, had a 5-shot lead at one point on Saturday. What happened to him?
Nothing wrong. It's hard to maintain that kind of a pace. I mean, he played 5 on the weekend. Quite often, almost any other time, a 5-shot, 4-shot lead going into the weekend, and you play 5 under par, you're going to win on this golf course, except for Scottie Scheffler. Think about Brian Harman. You mentioned it. Even par the first day, 19 under the next three. Nobody played better the last three, but you've got a total 72 holes. And Scottie Scheffler made a passing move at the end, and he just blitzed by everybody. But, boy, it came down to the last power lip up by Wyndham Clark. I mean, all these guys have a lot to be proud about.
And Xander Schauffele, one of the most consistent, one of the best players in the game, another near miss for him. He finishes tied for second after having the lead early Sunday.
I don't think it takes away from how great a player he is. I have such respect for Xander Schauffele. I love the way he goes about, the professional way he handles his business. But this is 6 times now he's been in the last group and has not yet won. I think he's going to bust through and win a lot of tournaments in the rest of his career. This one, I think, will be a hard one to swallow.
Remember, Mark, not too long ago, people were saying, when is Scottie Scheffler going to win a tournament? Remember, he was coming close? You don't have to ask that question anymore. 8th career win for Scottie Scheffler. It was a lot of fun. It always is Matt Adams at the Players' Championship. It was another great Sunday at the Players' Stadium course. Scottie Scheffler, a winner again at the Players, a winner at the 50th Players' Championship.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for all your work throughout the week, your entire crew, too. I had a chance to listen to a great deal of PGA Tour Radio, which you guys can hear week in and week out on the PGA Tour app. You can hear it on PGATour.com. Both of those sites are free, or if you subscribe to the National Satellite Service, Sirius XM. As to what Scotty did, the stats, and Earl and Mark were starting to touch on it a little bit, and it's cool hearing from Mark McCumber, a guy who's actually won that event. It's stunning. It's just what he did is so incredible. He earned his eighth PGA Tour title, but here's the point that I wanted to make with that. His age, 27 years, 8 months, and 25 days. So when you think about all of the stars that we normally talk about, I'm talking about throughout the game, regardless of the tours that they play on, et cetera. When you talk about the stars, 27 years, 8 months, and 25 days is one of the younger ones amongst that breed. All eight wins have come since the start of the 21-22 season, the most of any player in that span. The second in that span would be five by Rory McIlroy and John Rahm, both tied. He ties John Rahm for the most wins since joining the PGA Tour, and that was at the start of the 19-20 wraparound season. He's the first player with multiple wins in three consecutive PGA Tour seasons since Dustin Johnson did it in the 15-16 through the 2017 seasons. This is the stuff about the company that he's keeping. Now, when you've got an event of this stature, you're going to start to keep some pretty elite company. He's the first player to successfully defend a title at the Players' Championship. He becomes the eighth multiple winner of the Players since Tiger Woods had his second in 2013. But let me give you the list. Multiple wins. Two, Steve Elkington in 91 and 97. Two for Hal Sutton, 83 in 2000. Two for Davis Love III, 92 in 2003. Two for Tiger in 2001, 2013. Two, of course, for Scotty in 23, 24. Three for Jack Nicklaus in 74, 76, and 78. I also thought it was a nice touch when they had Jack Nicklaus out on the tee greeting players. Third PGA Tour event where he has had multiple wins. Two at the Players. Two at the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard, which is ironic because he won the second one just the week before, and two at the WM Phoenix Open. Second player to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard and the Players' Championship multiple times. The other, Tiger Woods. This is what I mean about the company. It's impressive. First player successfully defend on title and tour since Tom Kite at the 2023 Tom Kim, I beg your pardon, Tom Kite, at the 2023 Shriners Children's Open. Did you hear Tom Kim pulled out? He was ill. Successfully defends a title for the second time on the PGA Tour. The first, as I mentioned, was the WM Phoenix Open. Winning back-to-back weeks, as we have noted. 72-hole total. This is the thing I was giving you a piece of before. 20 under 268, the second lowest winning score in tournament history and the lowest since Greg Norman in 1994. He was 24 under with 264. His final round 64 ties the lowest final round score by a winner in tournament history. Fred Couples did it in 1996. Davis Love III did it in 2003. His final round 64 is the second lowest final round score of his tour career and the lowest since the 2022 Worldwide Technologies Championship when he had a 62. It's his second consecutive year with four scores in the 60s and the only player in tournament history to do so in two different years. All three runners-up missed birdie putts at the 72nd hole to force a playoff. It was first Brian Harman coming through at 17 feet 4 inches, which he had a brilliant approach shot. Remember, he drove through the fairway, went into the pine straw, and then from there hit a really, really nice shot that kind of dug in. It was 17 feet 4 inches away. The next two attempt in the final twosome would be Xander Schauffele. He went through as well. He was in that pine straw. His didn't catch the ridge and pull it back to the hole, so he had 61 feet 4 inches left, put a really nice effort on it. And then Wyndham Clark, when he had his heartbreaking lip out, was 17 feet 4 inches, ironically the exact same distance as Brian Harman. All right, fourth player, this is Scottie Scheffler, to win the Players after entering the final round, trailing by five strokes or more, Raymond Floyd in 1981, which would have been a different golf course, but he trailed by six. Justin Leonard in 1998 here by five. Henrik Stenson in 2009 by five. And, of course, Scotty. Largest come-from-behind win of Scotty's PGA Tour career, his previous was two strokes behind at the WM Phoenix Open and the 22 Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. Goes to number one in FedEx Cup, and he, of course, is world number one as well. Here's something that I think is going to blow you guys away, and we're going to bring a guest on in just a little bit to give us some more perspective on what we witnessed. Get this. It was his 25th top three finish since joining the PGA Tour at the start of the 1920 wraparound season. That's five more than any other player in that span. Second place is John Rahm, who had 19. That's Scotty's 25th. Bear in mind, as I'm giving you these numbers and these stats, he's had 118 total starts on tour, and that was his 25th top three. Remarkable, and it continues. That was his 36th top five since joining the PGA Tour in that same time span. Nine more than any other player in that span. Second was Xander Schauffele, who has 27. And it was his 49th of 118 top 10 since joining the Tour. That's seven more than any other player in that span. Second is 41 for John Rahm. Absolutely remarkable. So I guess the place to start with Scottie Scheffler is this. Scottie, how does it feel to be the first to defend a player's?
Yeah, it's good to be sitting back here again. You know, today was another battle. It was a hard-fought week. You know, a lot of guys played some really good golf this week. You know, a few of them finished at 19. I finished at 20. That's some really good golf around this course. Yeah, I really don't know what to say, to be honest with you.
When you were sitting on 14T on Friday having the massage, could you have envisioned sitting in that chair right now?
Yeah, I think so. That's probably why I kept playing. You know, I'd gotten off to a good start on, you know, I played really good golf on Thursday. You know, I made an early birdie. I think I was 200 through four on Friday. So I was right in the thick of the tournament, and all of a sudden, you know, I get that pinch in my neck, and, you know, I gutted out around there, getting it around in a few under par, keep myself in the tournament. Same thing Saturday. You know, I said it before, like when you get an acute injury like that, if you can wake up the next day feeling a little bit better, or the exact same, it's a win. Usually morning after is worse than you know, the following day. And so woke up Saturday feeling a little bit better. Was able to hit some shots yesterday, but not many. And then today I woke up feeling fairly close to normal, and went out there and had a good round of golf. You know, I just wanted to get off to a good start on the front nine. I felt like if I could shoot a low round on the front nine, you know, and put myself right into the tournament, that was really my goal. And, you know, I was hoping to make some early birdies. And, you know, I parred the first three, and then the hole out really got me going there on number four. And, yeah, I made some nice putts to close out the back nine. You know, when I was looking at the leaderboard, I saw that they were starting – or Xander was starting at 17, Wyndham was starting at 16. And so, I mean – I needed some help, obviously, going into today if I wanted to win the tournament. And I felt like if I could go out and shoot a good round on the front nine, I could put myself in it as long as, you know, one of them didn't shoot, you know, four or five under on the front as well. And so the birdie on nine was huge. And, you know, I was right in the tournament the whole back nine. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we put in all the work is to be able to finish off tournaments and to play well at the right time. And, you know, going into days like today, it's nice coming out on top for sure. You know, it's a great feeling. I don't feel like a ton has changed. I feel like, you know, I'm much more free in what I'm doing. I think I'm much more engaged in the process of things. You know, I think Riviera was more of a, you know, I think it was more of a effect from the week before. You know, put myself in position in Phoenix and not being able to make the putts on, you know, late the back nine on Sunday. I had, you know, bogey. You know, I think I had a three putt there. But anyways, you know, I was in position to win that tournament. I was very frustrated not to be able to get it done. And so going into Riv, it was probably more of the residual effects of that, the frustration. But really, you know, Phil has done a really good job with me the last, you know, 6 months or so, kind of keep my head in the right frame of mind. And we've been working really hard at it, trying not to work too hard at times. But it's really nice to see the, you know, the fruits of all the work that we've put in. And, you know, it's exciting to be sitting up here again. I just think playing the back-to-back weeks is challenging. You know, being at the top of the leaderboard last weekend, this week is it's a real test mentally and physically. And, you know, this week was a physical test as well, you know, just with how my neck was Friday and Saturday. And so I put you know, a lot into trying to win this golf tournament. It's very, you know, very satisfying to be walking out here with the trophy.
Well, I mean, anytime you can get, you know, the respect and the compliments of your peers, I think is really special. You know, we all put a lot of work into our games, and to receive compliments from the guys that are in here week in, week out is always really special. And, you know, we're competing against each other like crazy. And, you know, I think those guys are going to leave this tournament more motivated than ever. And, you know, I got to do my best to keep up with that.
Yeah. I would say the consistency is great. It's definitely frustrating getting close to winning tournaments and not winning tournaments. You know, like I said, Phoenix was tough, you know, being there, you know, towards the end and not closing out the tournament. And those losses, they hurt a lot. They really do. We put a lot of work into being in those positions to perform. And when you don't perform at your best, it's very frustrating. You know, it's sad and it's tough, but you know, you wake up and try and do your best the next week. You know, and you know, fortunately I was able to close out one night very nicely last week, to where it wasn't too close. And then, you know, it may be even more satisfying finishing out a close one this week.
I looked at Teddy in the locker room today when we were watching, cause I sat down and watched for a few minutes just to pass the time basically. Cause I had a decent amount of time before a playoff would have started. And it's not fun sitting around being helpless, just watching guys be in control. So it's usually easier to be in the final group just because you know what you need to do. But, you know, today I just did my best to stay patient and get ready for a playoff. That's really all it is just trying to stay mentally ready, because you're so in the zone of a golf tournament. You're in there competing, and all of a sudden you got to stop and sit for, you know, 45 minutes and wait. It's a bit... It's different for sure.
Well, I just think that we come out here and try and compete and try and win tournaments. And, you know, being in that environment, being in the arena days like today is a ton of fun. And, you know, it doesn't change me as a person when I go home. You know, the flight home tonight, you know, we're going to be here for a couple extra hours, but flying home tonight is going to look pretty similar to what it would if, you know, I finished second this week. You know, I'd obviously have a bit different feelings. They'd be tough. But at the end of the day, you know, I have a great support system at home. You know, I have a great wife, great parents, great siblings, and you know, I'm just, you know, thankful to be out here playing on tour.
Well, I just think that I try to be as honest as I can. You know, this environment here where everything's being recorded, I think it can be a tough place to be, you know, 100% honest all the time. You know, you got to be cautious and don't want to say the wrong thing this day and age. But at the end of the day, I think it all goes back to the support system at home. You know, I really do have a great support system. I'm very thankful for it. You know, I have a great wife, and if I, you know, started taking my trophies and putting them all over the house and walking in all big time, I think she'd, you know, smack me on the side of the head and, you know, tell me to get over myself pretty quickly. Winning golf tournaments definitely doesn't give me any brownie points at home. So, you know, just trying to do my best. You know, I try not to place too much emphasis on the results, good or bad. I think you can take some positives in the momentum, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to go home, get some rest, and continue my prep work for Houston. I show up to try and perform my best and hopefully win tournaments, but when I stand on the tee on Thursday, I'm not thinking about the trophy ceremony at the end of the week. I'm just trying to be committed to the shot and just go from there. Yeah, I think I definitely have that level. Usually it wears off by the time I get home and it's time to scream and yell. But, you know, those moments of victory are always really special. You know, today we were out there on the range with Blake and Teddy. And these guys, I mean, it's really not just me out there putting in the work. There's so much stuff that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, I think they have a pretty good group chat between Teddy, Randy, Blake, and Phil. You know, they've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and there's a lot of work that goes into me going out there on the golf course. And I'm just very thankful to have such a great support system, not only at home, but have a great team around me as well. You know, I think that's a funny question. I'm not going to remember the exact numbers, but like, we're playing at Riv this year and I hit my tee ball and this guy yells out like, "Congrats on being number one, Scotty, you know, 11 more years to go." 11 more years to go. Anytime you can be compared to Tiger, I think is really special. But I mean, the guy stands alone, I think, in our game. I mean, he really does. I mean, this is my 8th tournament win now out here. I've tied him in players championships. Outside of that, you know, I got 14 more majors and, you know, 70 some PGA Tour events to catch up. So I think I'm going to stick to my routine and just continue to, you know, plod along, try and stay as even keeled as I can. And yeah, we all idolize Tiger. I mean, he's been our guy. You know, watching what he did in special moments over the years is crazy to watch. And, you know, I've learned a lot just from being around him, and, you know, we're just very thankful that he's still a part of our sport.
Amazing stuff from Scottie Scheffler. We'll go deeper into what he accomplished and what it could mean to the game of golf. It is presented by the PGA Tour Superstore, this Fairways of Life show, which is the number one golf retailer from coast to coast. If you need it, you know that they've got it for your game. I think the best part, though, is not only their big, beautiful stores, but you're shopping with professionals. They are vested in the best interest in your game. Find your happy place at the PGA Tour Superstore.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes! Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com. As we welcome you back to the Fairways of Life show on this Tuesday, recounting the amazing performance of Scottie Scheffler. I mean, Andrew, let's pull up those stats that you were showing before about what Scottie Scheffler did. I'll start with what Scottie Scheffler did overall in the championship, and then I'll go backwards to what he did in the final round. First of all, his performance. Look at these numbers, folks. Strokes gain off the tee. This is gaining against the average of the field, 6.429. First, and I suppose that's the most important numbers, is his performance relative to these categories to the rest of the field. Approach to the green, 7th. Around the green, 6th. Putting, 37th, which for him is very good. I don't mean that to be derogatory when I say 37th as compared to the others. Just shows that in the other categories, he's so exceptional. Strokes gain total, look at this. 17.126, obviously first. His driving accuracy at this golf course, 80% plus first. Driving distance, he was 14th. If you are that high in driving distance and first in accuracy, you're going to start to make some noise. Greens in regulation, tied for third. Sand saves, tied for 10th. Scrambling, 8th. Putts per green, 18th. That's at 1.67. And then total putts, he was tied for 25th. Now, Andrew, if you could show us just in the final round. There you can see it again. Strokes gained off the tee, second. Approach, fifth. Around 16th. Putting, 30th. Got even stronger in the final round. Total putting tied for first at plus 7.096. Driving accuracy, T1. Distance got even better, 13th. Green regulation, 7th. Sand save, 17th. Scrambling, 1st. Putts per green, 1.5, tied for 5th. And then total putts, 25, tied for 7th. Incredible. To give us perspective on all of this is more and more is Mark Carnevale. He was the 1992 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. That distinction is now called the Arnold Palmer Award. Carney, thanks for joining us. I guess there's no other place that I can start with you on this Tuesday morning than to ask, based upon what you eyewitnessed this past week as part of the coverage, what do you make of the performance that you saw from Scottie Scheffler in winning back-to-back players?
Flat out impressive, Matt. You know, we chatted a little bit last week about this, and your stats right there speak for themselves. This is a golf course, I think, where stats sort of confirm your winner. This is a golf course where driving accuracy is very important. Greens in regulation is very important. Obviously, putting is important every week. But this week, in my opinion, it tends not to be quite as important in the sense of if you're not getting yourself to the greens, you're going to be struggling at times. But it's just an unbelievable performance. And you factor in the slight injury or whatever you call it, injury, the crick in his neck or whatever. Ultimately, it was for Scottie Scheffler to battle through that. And, you know, that's to me just a sign of the best players in any sport. They have a desire to win. They will try to do whatever they can to get through whatever injuries they have. And that was just a perfect example of it. But let's not count out the performances of Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark Xander Schauffele as well. I mean, they were right there. And the fact that all three of them had an opportunity to tie Scotty on the 18th hole is attributed to this golf tournament, to the way the course was playing. And it just, what a finish. But no, it's 2 weeks in a row. I only followed Scotty on Thursday and Friday. So I wasn't with him on the weekend, but obviously we're watching and seeing what's going on. And he just has this knack where it's like, okay, you're going to give me a chance here. I'm gonna make my push. Now, as we always talk about, Matt, there's luck in this game in order to win golf tournaments, and certainly the hole out at four was impressive, and certainly contributed to his ability to get close to the lead. But just he's just an unusual player in the fact that we know he's talented, but at the same time, and you heard in his interview, just a lot of the humbleness that he exudes. And I just think that's very unique and very impressive.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Carney. Very unique and very impressive is well phrased when we're talking about Scottie Scheffler. In round one, he had a 67. You noted that you were assigned to him in rounds one and two. He had a 67 in round one. He had a 69 in round two. From what you saw on Thursday and Friday, were you sitting back going, okay, this is pretty typical Scottie Scheffler, although he's picking up where he left off with a win the week before, which is clearly not easy. He spoke in his sound about it being a mental and physical test to play that well in back-to-back weeks. But nonetheless, 67-69, were you thinking this is a pretty good start, or were you starting to think that, yeah, maybe something is going on here with the physical ailment or otherwise?
Well, certainly with the opening round, that was impressive. It looked like, and obviously there's been comparisons with he and Tiger Woods, and you had to laugh at his response to some of the fans that were talking about it, and the reality that he understands that he's a long way to go. But just this performance on the golf course, and Tiger always started, I wouldn't say he never got off to a really hot start, but kind of worked his way through the tournament and worked, improved every day. So the opening 67, I thought, pretty normal. He played in the afternoon, where it tends to be the afternoon conditions just a little more challenging, but you know, there was good scores in both rounds, morning and afternoon. And then the way he battled through Saturday, I mean, it looked like maybe he was too far back because the extent of the injury was unknown. But as you said in his press conference, it didn't get any worse on Saturday. And he felt good about that and that it continued to improve, still getting treatment. It just shows you you can't ever count him out. I mean, five shots back in any tournament is maybe not so much. In this tournament, I think it tends, that's a pretty good hill to overcome. And he just kept putting himself in position. I mean, I guess what he was 7 under and 14 under, so he would have been 7 back going into the weekend. And you're thinking, okay, go out there, make sure he can get through it. He's going to have another good week. But then it's almost like he turned on flipped the switch there as he got to finish his rounds on both days. And I've come to believe to never unexpect anything, Matt, in the sense of golf is challenging, but all these players are so good. But now we're coming to expect that from him without question.
My sense is, Carney, and I'm not, I don't have any evidence to back this up, that I can say, well, look what he did here or look what he did there. I'm more looking at, he comes off the win at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and comes into this one ready to go, but he overcomes a physical ailment. All of these different pieces that at the end of the day add up to him winning a second consecutive Players, I just feel like, and I'm not suggesting that it wasn't there before, I'm suggesting, I guess, that we're seeing it more. And I'm talking about mental resiliency, about just mental toughness. He talked to it a little bit in his press conference, but it's not something, and maybe I'm being influenced by it because leading in, he was asked about the players that went to live, and he seemed almost a little chirpy about it and was like, well, why don't you go talk to them instead of talking to us? I just saw kind of a mental posturing and exposure to Scottie Scheffler that I don't remember seeing before. Am I seeing something here, or did you pick up some of that too?
I think it's just the reality of it. He realizes all he can do is control what he does, and he's doing that quite well. I think it's confidence too. If I'm not mistaken, this is his 9th win now on the PGA Tour. That you build confidence in that, and there's nothing that confidence is something that you can't really teach. You have to sort of earn that, and I think he is starting to earn that. I had a little bit of a lull when you consider that he's the number one player in the world from his last win until he won a week ago at Bay Hill at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and then to back it up this week. He loves to play golf, and that's what's so unusual. It's that, I mean, all these guys do it, but he sort of realizes that, when he's on the golf course, that's what he's there to do. He's there to win. He's there to perform, but he's able to separate it once he leaves the golf course. But you have to have that little sort of edge of confidence, that little reality of, hey, I'm pretty darn good here. Let's see how far we can take this. And, as long as he does and works towards that goal of trying to be in the mix in all the tournaments he enters, I think that's impressive. And he even alluded to the fact that, it's now time to get work started for Houston and continue that. So he is constantly looking forward. I don't think he looks back on it. I mean, I don't recall anyone talking about his putting this week. There'd be no reason to. But
not
it's almost like
anyway.
He puts that stuff in the rearview mirror and just moves forward.
Yeah, it is impressive. Our guest is Mark Carnevale, the 1992 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. It's called the Arnold Palmer Award. We will continue our conversation with Carney in just a moment because there are still some areas that I want to get into. I want to talk about course setup. I want to talk more about the leaderboard, and Mark alluded to it when he gave his opening comments about the strength of the leaderboard and how exciting it was. And I believe that those two items that I just mentioned are tied together. Plus, I want to talk to him about where we go looking down the road. And the next massive event down the road, of course, is the Masters, and how is the table set for that as the Fairways of Life show continues on this Tuesday right after this.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland,
Golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I have ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today.
Welcome back to the Fairways of Life Show. Our guest is Mark Carnevale, Arnold Palmer Award recipient. Carney, this is one of the times of year that I think about you in particular. Mark's dad is a legendary basketball coach. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And the fact, Carney, that your dad is in the Basketball Hall of Fame at the time, and I think about this because of the big dances going on right now, right? Up where I am in this part of the world, Seton Hall, St. John's, Providence didn't get in. At the same time in the world of sports at large, we've got baseball right around the corner. The boys of summer are back. We've got hockey playoffs that are getting geared up. We've got the Premier League that's getting ready to wrap up and more. So with all of that as the background of this incredible time of year when we have the players that just wrapped up, we got a couple of weeks or three more PGA Tour events before we get to the Masters. The table is set. But getting to the set table that lies before us, I definitely want to talk to you about some of the things that we saw. I alluded to them as we were going to the break. First of all, the course setup. I got the sense that the people who were setting up the golf course were a little bit frustrated that they couldn't get it dry harder and faster. But at the same time, talking about setting the table, it set the table for an incredible finish that we saw at this Players. What are your thoughts in terms of the overall setup of the golf course and how Mother Nature provided or didn't?
I think it was good. And you never know. You can't, Mother Nature controls, herself. We had a bad kind of winter a couple months in January and February where we got a lot of rain, wasn't great conditions in the sense of it wasn't to dry out the golf course. I thought the staff did a great job. They were able to do what they do at times. On Friday afternoon, we started to see a little more firmness, a little bit more on Saturday. But the big factor was the wind. And we didn't get the winds and the challenging winds that we normally get. Players struggled. And I think that's one of the beauties of this golf course, Matt, is that even when you get good conditions, I mean, just look at players that struggled out there. I mean, Max Homa up there in birdies made and shot even par. Now, there were a number of players who were leading in birdies and were not near the lead of the golf tournament, which shows you the challenge of the golf course. I did a little stand-up hit on Friday on PGA Tour Live, and I said, on every shot on this golf course, you feel uncomfortable. And I think, I don't know if there's a better, at least in my mind, I don't know if there's a better way to say it, that despite very favorable conditions, every time you attempt to hit a golf shot, you feel uncomfortable. There are no layups, so to speak, using the sort of connection with basketball right now. There's no layups on this golf course. Even the short holes we saw players struggle with. So despite that, but at the same time, you know, it's about the competition, Matt. And no matter how, whether you set the golf course up hard, whether it's considered easy, favorable, it's still about the competition, and you still have to perform. And certainly those guys, you know, at the top of the leaderboard went out there and performed. And there were players that had the same conditions that didn't perform. Is it ever going to be perfect? No. You can't script perfect when you have a live competition. You can try, but I find it very difficult to be able to do that on a regular basis. And it's what's there. It's in front of you. It's fair to everybody. I think that's the other big thing, is the setup was fair. And it's a challenge, and players were not used to it. I talked to a number of players, and they said the biggest challenge for them were on the shorter irons. They had to be careful to spin because of the receptiveness of the greens. And being able to adjust to that, yeah, you want to be able to stand up there and know exactly what the golf ball does every time. But that's the beauty of talent and being able to adjust to it. And those that were able to adjust to it, you know, certainly gave themselves a chance to win this past week.
Carney, I have a feeling that you and I have the same perspective on the following, and that is, I love seeing players come out of nowhere. Now, obviously, they're not out of nowhere. They're there for a reason. They're amongst the best players in the world, but players that you don't expect. I mean, if you look at this season alone, Grayson Murray back in the winner's circle, Nick Dunlap, Matthew Pavone, Jake Knapp, Austin Eckroat, just to give you some examples, I really enjoyed seeing those players emerge. That's why I like bigger fields, I like the cuts, et cetera, et cetera. But having said all that, and you alluded to it when you first came on with us this morning, the leaderboard that we had at this Players, from Scottie Scheffler ultimately atop the leaderboard, to what we saw from Wyndham Clark and the heartbreaking lip out on 18, to what we saw from Xander Schauffele looking like, is he going to continue a march where, yeah, maybe he will fulfill the promise of the potential that we see in him. And then Brian Harman, the reigning Open champion, giving it a run and finishing on 19 under as well. How important to the tour was this leaderboard and this strength at this event?
Well, I mean, it's always important, Matt, but I don't know if it made it any different, because I think what you alluded to was sort of the guys, I wouldn't say, as you said, not out of nowhere, but that's what I think separates the PGA Tour from LIV, in that you have stories like that. I mean, the stories are set over there. They know the big name players, and again, I don't hear much about it. Of course, I don't follow much of it, but I think what you want, to me, it's always been about the competition. And when it's a big event, and you look at that, Matt, you have, you know, going back to 2022, you had three major championship winners in those final four guys, in Scottie Scheffler and Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman. You had two of the last four major winners there. So they stepped up to the plate. You know, winning those major championships helped them. And as you talked about Xander, maybe the most accomplished player not to win a major championship now. So to me, that's what it's about. It's this event is the Players' Championship. It is the PGA Tour's Players' Championship. And it's, you know, you can debate on whether it's a major or whatever. It certainly had the excitement of a major. And I just think, I think too much maybe made of all that, Matt, in the sense of you get an opportunity to play on the PGA Tour and you're either able to take advantage of it or you're not. And I think that that's what the beauty of it is. But I don't think it makes it like, okay, well, the PGA Tour is so great now because we had this finish. I think it's always been great. And I think it's what it represents, at least in my mind, that separates it. So this just sort of is a little more icing on the cake.
That icing on the cake, of course, Carney, we have three more weeks of play on the PGA Tour before we go to Augusta. But nonetheless, I'm going to ask you the question. Storylines heading into the Masters, what do you think they are primary now?
Well, it has to be Scottie Scheffler, for sure. You know, Wyndham Clark. And then what are the LIV players going to do? Your defending champion has now moved on to LIV. You know, you have former champions over there and John Rahm and Dustin Johnson and Sergio Garcia and Phil Mickelson. You know, are they going to compete? You know, it's the more time they've had sort of away from the grind of the competition of the PGA Tour, I have to feel, you know, while they're all competitors, could be a factor. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think it's great if they're in the mix, and it would be okay if one of them wins it. That's fine, because you want the best competition. But I think, to me, is, you know, with everything else going on, you know, is it gonna be the same, or we're gonna see maybe some separation from that?
Well, let me ask you this, Carney, before we say goodbye on this Tuesday morning. If I gave you Scotty, Xander, or Rory versus the field, would you take the three versus the field?
Yes.
Really?
I would.
Interesting. Yep. All right. I'm going to leave it there so we have more to talk about the next time Mark Carnevale is with us in 92 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year and the Arnold Palmer Award recipient as a result. Carney, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Always great to be with you, Matty. Take care.
All right, we'll talk to you again, folks. When we come back on the Fairways of Life show, some of these names that we've been throwing around and in the mix, you'll hear from a couple after this.
I guess hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal caddy. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit zerofriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
It was coming with some speed too. I don't know how that putt doesn't go in. It was, kind of right center with, I feel like, a foot to go, and I knew it was going to keep breaking, but it had speed, and thought I was going to go inside left. And then even when it kind of seemed to lip, I thought it would lip in. So, I mean, I'm pretty gutted it didn't go in. I wish I would have had more speed on 16, because then we'd be in a playoff. But I try to keep it really constant, but sometimes it fluctuates. I do hit my short putts pretty firm. I've been known to do that, and I just try to take the break out of it. And then the one on 18, I mean, I wanted to try to make the putt. I didn't really care about the second putt. We've already had a good start to the year. I wanted to be in the playoffs, so I went for it. You know, I just played back-to-back weeks on two pretty challenging golf courses that I traditionally haven't done very well on, and just went second and second. So, I'll take those positives. I played awesome in both weeks. And I'll also take that I can play in the moment, in any moment, against the best players in the world on the best golf courses. I mean, I almost birdied the last three at one of the most iconic golf courses. So, maybe next week sometime I'll really be able to look at those positives and feel good about it. But right now I'm pretty down.
At what point did you realize here comes Scotty, and what were you thinking?
On 11, I looked. It was the first time I really looked at his leaderboard, and I kind of chuckled and said, "Yeah, of course." But he's the best player in the world. Obviously there's positives in it. You finish second, you get a bunch of points and money and all that stuff. But it just sucks. I mean, I've always wanted and dreamt about making a putt that really mattered to either force a playoff or win a tournament, and it's. I've yet to do it in my professional career, so I was pretty bummed that I didn't have one of those really awesome moments. So, I don't know. I'm still a little beside myself. I'm shocked. I'm just so shocked that putt didn't go in. No, with the downwind, I mean, I had a pitching wedge, and I don't know what more you could ask for. I thought I'm a huge guy. I've just always given myself a chance. I felt like if I hit driver, I wasn't guaranteed birdie, and I thought I could lose the tournament by hitting driver. So I thought hitting 4-iron out there, and like I did most of the days, and I had a pitching wedge in, and I mean, I hit three perfect shots, and unfortunately wasn't enough. I'm really hoping that, these 2 seconds are just leading to something greater. So I'm, I believe that, and, I hope that maybe these shortcomings in these last couple weeks lead to something greater. So I'm really looking forward to what's ahead.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, I'd say, A game would be a little bit more than 2-under. But I hung in there. I gave myself a realistic chance. Not on 18, but on 17. If I made that, it could have been a different story. But hung tough and, no surprise to see Sky's name up there. A little bit. I mean, I hit some better shots today in some tough spots. I didn't really convert on some of the putts that I wanted. When you're trying to win a tournament, you got to sort of make those sketchy 9-footers. And I missed a few of them, or a couple of them, or a few of them on the back nine.
What are you thinking as you see Scotty's name charging up?
Yeah, I'm gonna lick my wounds. I'll probably join him in the hater raid at this moment, but it is what it is. These suck. When I went to bed last night, it's not exactly how I envisioned walking off the 18th green. So. Lick my wounds, and I'm playing next week, so just right back to it. Sure, yeah, a ton of positives. I haven't cracked an egg since I moved this tournament to this time of year, so to hang there with the best of them is good for me to know. I came in second, lost by a lot though to Webb, I believe, when it was firm and fast. So that second felt different. This one sucks a little bit more, but just another close call.
16 and 17, 18 are pretty fearsome holes to try and press on. What's the feeling knowing that you have to go after on those holes where there's so much danger?
It's not too crazy as weird as that sounds. You're trying to win a golf tournament. So to me, I tell myself all the time, if you're trying to win, you got to walk through the fire. And if you're able to walk through unscathed, then you're going to win the tournament. I feel like I'd been trying to just commit. You know, my dad told me a long time ago to commit, execute, and accept. And I'm swallowing a heavy dose of acceptance right now, but that's kind of what I did. You know, I tried to commit, and I executed poorly on some shots, and here I am accepting it.
All right, so it sounds like Wyndham Clark is already starting to work through some of the disappointment, the shock, as he put it, of that putt not dropping on 18. It was incredible. It was remarkable. And almost cruelly, it seems to say, it was incredibly entertaining the way that everything finished on Sunday as well. And of course, the reigning gold medalist, Xander Schauffele, licking his wounds, to use his phrase. It seems though, too, he is measuring himself against how close he was instead of how far. So again, coming up today at 4 p.m. at 6 p.m., I'll be hosting Golf Central, and we will have more news on the meeting between PGA Tour player directors with Yasser Al-Rumayyan, who is in charge of Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. They met apparently yesterday in the Bahamas. There was message that was sent out by Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour. So we'll have news on all of that coming up later on today. Thank you so much for your company, folks. Tomorrow, big show, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame right here on the Fairways of Life show. What? Yeah, it's all in store, but we appreciate your company. Have a great day. Bye for now.